أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فاختلف الأحزاب من بينهم فويل للذين كفروا من مشهد يوم عظيم. أسمع بهم وأبصر يوم يأتوننا لكن الظالمون اليوم في ضلال مبين. وأنذرهم يوم الحسرة إذ قضي الأمر وهم في غفلة وهم لا يؤمنون. إنا نحن نرث الأرض ومن عليها وإلينا يرجعون. واذكر في الكتاب إبراهيم إنه كان صديقا نبيا. إذ قال لأبيه يا أبت لم تعبد ما لا يسمع ولا يبصر ولا يغني عنك شيئا. يا أبت إني قد جاءني من العلم ما لم يأتك فاتبعني أهدك صراطا سويا. يا أبت لا تعبد الشيطان إن الشيطان كان للرحمن عصيا. يا أبت إني أخاف أن يمسك عذاب من الرحمن فتكون للشيطان وليا. قال أراغب أنت عن آلهتي يا إبراهيم لئن لم تنته لأرجمنك واهجرني مليا. قال سلام عليك سأستغفر لك ربي إنه كان بي حفيا. How plainly will they see and they hear the day they will come to us. But the zalims today are in manifest error. And warn them about the day of distress when the matter is decided. And presently they are negligent and they do not believe it is we who will inherit the earth and all that is therein. And to us will they all be brought back. When the Qiyamah commences and people begin to see, then will they realize. Now the reckoning, it's not the day of reckoning. And when it's not the day of reckoning, they are in negligence. They feel there isn't a thing like hisab, accountability and Qiyamah. So that day will be a day of great distress, Yawm al-Hasra. Great distress, day of remorse. For the kafir, it is obvious that it will be a day of remorse. As the hadith says, that on that day, Allah Ta'ala will bring death in the form of a lamb between Jannat and Jahannam. And he'll call out to the people of Jannat, the people of Jahannam. People of Jannat will be anxious whether Allah Ta'ala is going to reverse his decision and that they will land up in Jahannam. And the people of Jahannam will be very anxious as well. Perhaps they will feel that Allah Pak may just reverse his decision and we will get into Jannat. Then Allah Ta'ala will slaughter death and then he will announce to the people of Jannat that enter into Jannat abad al-abideen forever and ever. And you remain in Jahannam forever and ever. Hadith says that if believers, they will be so excited with happiness and grateful to Allah Ta'ala. If there wasn't a thing, or if there was death, then they would have died with excitement and with happiness. And same with the Jahannamis. As far as the believers are concerned, then for them also sometimes there may be the regrets and remorse on that day. When the Jannatis will see the higher levels and the rewards and the stages of Jannat, then they will regret over those moments that they had not been remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a day of regrets for both kafirs and a day of regrets for the believers. Why didn't we aspire even greater, that we could have been entitled to these rewards? Waskur fil kitab Ibrahim, and mention Ibrahim alayhi salam in this book. Indeed, he had been a man of truth and a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Behold, he had addressed his father in these words, "My dear father, why do you worship things that do not hear nor listen? Why do you worship things that do not hear nor see, nor can they do any good to you? And my dear father, knowledge has come to me which has not yet reached you. Then follow me and I will guide you to the path that is straight and even. And my dear father, do not worship Shaitan. Shaitan was a rebel, disobedient to Allah Ta'ala. And my dear father, I fear that the adab, penalty of Allah Ta'ala may reach you, may touch you, and you will become an accomplice with Shaitan in Jahannam." His father became infuriated and said, "Do you dislike my gods, O Ibrahim? If you do not desist, then I will stone you and leave me, get away from me permanently." So he replied, "Salamun alaik, salams to you. I will ask for forgiveness, I will pray for your forgiveness to my Rabb. He has been always most gracious towards me." Sees the da'wat of Ibrahim alayhi salam to his father. And the Mufassirin explain the comprehensive nature of his da'wat. The first, Allah Ta'ala speaks, "Innahu kana siddiqan nabiyya." He was a siddiq and a nabi. So this is the first step of da'wat, that you try to be a siddiq and a nabi. What is siddiq? Siddiq is a person wherein there is total conformity in his behavior, in his word and in his action. The action, the behavior, the belief, there is total consistency and conformity. So there is no inconsistency in his faith, behavior or in his action. So obviously this requires a lot of discipline, a lot of islah and correction. And then together with this Nabi, he was a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, in other words, receiving inspiration and conveying it to people. So this is the first requirement of a da'i, that he will have total conformity in his faith, in his action, and in his word. And he will be asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and conveying to people all the time. Then look at the beautiful way how he addresses his father. "My dear father, Ya Abati." On account of the father's disbelief and kufr, he doesn't lose respect and regards for him. He still loves him, still shows him the regards and consideration using words of respect, "Ya Abati." And then he doesn't speak to him in an abusive and insulting manner. "You got no brains. How can you be so stupid?" So he doesn't speak to him in this manner. Rather, he shows him the reality of the object that he worships. "See this thing that you are worshipping. You see for yourself that it cannot hear, it cannot see, and it cannot bring you any good. So what's the point? When it can't work for you, it cannot do you any good, can't listen to you, so what's the point?" So in the first line, he shows the reality of the object of his worship. Then he shows his position. "By the grace of Allah Ta'ala, I have been blessed with knowledge. And this is not of my own accord, rather it is the blessing of Allah Ta'ala that I have been blessed with true understanding. So follow me and I will guide you to the right path." He shows his position, that he's been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, And he can see for himself that I'm of your household, and you see me going on a straight path, and an even path. I'm not crooked. I'm not drifting away from the right. And number three, then he goes on to show him that if you fail to listen, what's going to be the consequence? First, you understand that the one that moves away from the right path, then he becomes a follower of Shaitan. Shaitan was always a rebel, and disobedient to Allah Ta'ala, and one that is going to be with Shaitan in this world, he's going to be listening to him, then he will join up with Shaitan in the hereafter as well. In this world, you're going to listen to him and join up with him, listening to him, then unfortunately in the hereafter, you will have to live with him, roast in Jahannam with him. So this is the beautiful approach in his da'wat, no abuse of words, gentle manner, very caring, loving towards his parents, but also concerned about the hereafter, what's going to happen. I'm only going to be concerned about this present life and totally disregard the future, then I will not be an obedient child. I will not be a respectful child. I will not be called a person who's got consideration for his father. So I have a consideration, a respect for your present, as well as for the future. For the present, I show you the respect, the regards, the muhabbat. But I'm more concerned, deeply concerned about what's going to be your ultimate consequence. Let it not be that you become an accomplice with Shaitan in Jahannam. So this is the beautiful, very considerate and graceful manner that Ibrahim al-Islam speaks to his father, as though he's brought a reconciliation between all the contradictions. On the one side, he has to show love and respect. Then he has to warn him about the consequence of what he is doing. So his father speaks in a most abusive and insulting manner. Do you dislike my gods, O Ibrahim? And if you do not desist, then I will stone you. So get away from me forever. So his father speaks in a rude manner, impolite and abusive. Then to Ibrahim al-Islam, he's not responding in an abusive, insulting tone. Rather he says, salams to you. I will pray to my Rabb for your forgiveness. He's been always gracious to me. So again, there's no words of abuse, of insult. And he's not prolonging the discussion. The truth has become manifest and clear. He doesn't need to engage them into a debate, into a long, prolonged discussion, because everything has become manifest and clear. Now it is left to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide, for He is the turn of the hearts. So therefore, I will ask and I will pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your forgiveness. The question is it permissible to pray for the forgiveness of a disbeliever? Obviously not. So this comes clear in the Quran. فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ أَنَّهُ عَدُوٌ لِلَّهِ تَبَرَّأَ مِنْ مَا كَانَ اسْتِغْفَارُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ إِلَّا عَمُّ وِدَى. And Ibrahim al-Islam did not know as yet that his father would remain a kafir and die as a kafir. So he made dua for his father's forgiveness, that perhaps Allah Ta'ala guides him and bring him to the right. But when it became clear that his father is a kafir and going to die as a kafir, then he dissociated, then he moved away. So all the contrast he's got in his life, if he needs to show affection and love, he's showing it. He has to show consequences, he's showing the consequence. He needs to show that he is an honest person, straight and upright. He's not using any type of diplomacy like it's used nowadays, rather upright and straight. So all the contrast he's got within himself. Therefore Allah Ta'ala says, Inna Ibrahima kana ummatan qanita. The good in him was as though the good of an entire nation. So he gracefully leaves his father, salamun alayk. In other words, salam is for multiple reasons. Sometimes it is to extend a greeting, and sometimes to gracefully move away from a person without fighting, without engaging in a debate, and a discussion, but gracefully, in a dignified manner, you have moved away. Then, from this point, what does he do? Then he says that I will move away from you and the gods that you worship besides Allah Ta'ala. And I will call Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and it's likely that I will never be unblessed in my dua to my Rabb, to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So, one is to be straight and firm, and then to dissociate and move away from those people that are wrong. Playing a balancing act is very, very dangerous. People do not know where you stand, whether you are on the right or the wrong, or whether you, the stance that you have taken is right or wrong. So they become totally confused. They do not know what is right any longer. They do not know what is wrong. So one has to be totally straight, and in that path of being straight and even, he has to break away, move away from those that are wrong. As the example of the greatest da'i of time, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he moved away from them, not only from their gods and from their false worship, but from them as well, physically he's moved away. Now, when you understand that this, you have come to a dead end, not getting anywhere, then it's pointless you working with the person, then you rather continue, وَأَدْعُوا رَبِّي, and I will call on my Rabb. And with firm conviction and with firm confidence that Allah Ta'ala will answer my prayer. So when he left them, then what happened to him thereafter? To this da'i and to this greatest inviter of time. So when he left them and their false worship, we blessed him with Ishaq and Yaqub alayhim salam, blessed him with two anbiya. And each one of them we had appointed as a Nabi. And وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِنَا, and we had bestowed all of them with our mercy. And وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ عَلِيًّا, and we had granted them praise, in fact high praise in the tongues of people, on the tongues of people. The question is this, that is this something to be acquired, that is praise on the tongues of people? We won't do work for praises, but we leave a way and a precedent for people to follow and to emulate. So this is what is meant, high praise. So people will see the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he was a straightforward person, respectful and kind, but also very straight and clear and true to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not impolite and rude. So they will see these things, and then this will be the legacy that he left behind. Contrary to this, a legacy of fighting, disputing, arguing. So this was not the legacy of a Nabi, rather a legacy of respect, a legacy of righteousness and virtue, a legacy of good manners and character, ways and values. وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ عَلِيًّا. So we have left for them, we have bestowed to all of them praise on the tongues of people. The people will see this was the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and this is the way to emulate. And thereby, when they have got a good name, they have left a great legacy for people to follow. Number two, their rewards also continue, because they had left a legacy of truth, a legacy of good character, politeness, a legacy of love and muhabbat, but totally loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the legacy of a Nabi. Allah Ta'ala grant us such legacies as well.